that she is, quote, not a dumb woman.
Oh.
She has a science degree. So I think everything about, I think there's a lot of underlining tensions here.
There is, 100%, yeah.
So then, yeah, then the Reddit community, they pretty much call him an asshole. and one guy was like,
there must be a newlywed.
Yeah, but then you got some simps here, and they're like, I would have missed the first pitch for her, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, hey,
you guys... Convos, I'm Khadija.
And I'm Shondor.
And it's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to
all the mothers.
You stepped on my thing. I was going to do something special.
Oh, well.
But you said what I was going to say, so I think we got the message out there. I was going to say Happy Mother's Day to all the birthing people in the backyarders community, because that's the right politically correct way to say it. Mother's Day is now being phased out. It's birthing people.
Well,
it's true.
Is it?
I'm not even making this up. I heard this on a different show.
Oh.
And that's like in the scientific journals, that's the correct term, is birthing people.
Okay.
Just thought that was a fun little thing for all you mothers out there.
What about people who adopt? They don't birth. They adopt. Like, are they not considered mothers at that point because they don't birth, or
I guess they would just be people.
They probably didn't think about that thoroughly. No, they didn't think that thoroughly. Like, they forgot about people who don't give birth, they actually adopt.
So. Well, these are the same people. They're the scientists, by the way. They're the academic community.
Yeah.
And they don't call it breastfeeding, they call it chest feeding. So, you know, we gotta really learn all the new lingo that doesn't make sense to us. So yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
When you I'm not gonna go down that road.
You probably don't want to go down that road.
I realized that, like,
asking a lot of questions you're not supposed to ask.
Yeah.
But happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who raised us and cared for us, even if they didn't birth us.
Yes.
Whatever it is, if you're out there and you cared for another human being, you can be a mother.
Yes.
Even if you're not a woman.
Anyways.
I mean, come on, isn't that true? You can do that.
You can do that. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to go down this.
I'm being intentionally divisive.
Yes.
I'm trying to make sure you have to edit a lot more because you made me wait to record the podcast.
Okay.
That's right. This is all revenge. Right.
So today we're going to talk about the stages of relationships, the progressions of relationship, whatever you guys want to call it. Their stages are the early stages, then you have the established stage, and then you have like people becoming family, and lastly, experience stage where you're no longer have kids in your home.
Well, if you make it through the first three stages, I think you're very well experienced in a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't actually have your own kids, if you adopt kids, if you have, what are the terms for pets? Furry babies?
Fur babies, yeah.
Fur babies. Even if you have fur babies and you see that whole process through, all these things apply. We have a plant, so we can be called plant parents.
Yay!
We're actually in the third stage of a relationship because we alternate on every other weekend who puts the water in the plant. So we're raising a life in our apartment. But I wanted to, since we're jumping right into it, the early stage. When you think of the early stage of a relationship, what comes to mind? Aside, and you can't be too vulgar, but the early stage of a relationship.
I think of, activities. You plan more activities. You do more going out. You do more just going out and activities.
That's when you're really kind of always doing something.
Yeah.
So many times you'll see articles or something about, oh, and he wanted the first date to be at his apartment. Like Netflix and chill, that got popular for a minute.
Yeah.
But that's not really the early stages of a relationship. That's just doing something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're really going to go for a relationship and you're really like, oh, I really like this person.
Yeah, when you first start, you do a lot. Sorry, I stepped over you.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
You just start doing a lot of things together. You like going out more. You are very like activity centered.
You call up your buddies. You know, hey, what should we do for our first date? Give me some ideas. You know, I don't want to take her. What's that one place out back? Or remember
the viral video? Yeah, they have the list of people that you couldn't take them. Like you had Outback, Applebee's.
All the restaurants I would consider good first dates. Cheesecake Factory does not belong on that list. I would say Outback probably doesn't belong on that list either.
Okay.
If you're having a first date, I would say coffee and a cigarette.
Oh, you're outdated. Anyway, and I feel like this more present moment focused. Like, they're not, they may plan for the future. You can plan for the future in the early stage. But when you first started dating, you're really in the present moment.
You're just wrapped up with that person. You know. Oh, you're getting a call. I'll ignore it. And whatever, swipe right on the call thing.
Yeah.
We're going to be spending this time together and just looking into the eyes. You know, it's all about being with that person.
You're very, always, you want to do a lot more things with that person. And
And that's where the excitement of the early stage of dating comes from.
I know.
It's really exciting. You're just getting to know a new person. Yeah, and you can still convince them that you're somebody that you're not, you know, because all they know is what you tell them.
Yeah.
So you can still make yourself sound a lot better than you are, and they don't know the truth yet. So all you know is that they're looking at you, and they're like, oh my goodness, he's so amazing. It's like, yeah, because what I told you is mostly made up. No, but I mean, like, that's the excitement, is that getting to know you stage. But the connection at that stage of the dating isn't really deep yet. It's not cemented. It's really easy to say, oh, I got the ick, and then jump ship. It's really easy to say, oh, she did this, and it was really weird, and I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
At that point, it's really exciting, and it's probably the most fun of all the stages, but it's also the least amount of commitment because you haven't invested with that person yet.
Yeah.
So whatever connection you have hasn't really fully developed or taken root. You haven't got a chance to really see
each other and, like, for who, you know, things that you like and you don't like about them just yet.
I think in the early stages of dating, you're really excited because you have someone who thinks you're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very new.
It's very new, and you just enjoy, like, the activities that come with it, you know? Like, let's go out to eat, let's go out to drink, let's go to the bar, let's go blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? You're planning a lot of more activities
with
this person, not just, you know.
And it's fun going out, you know? But when you start getting into the established phase.
Yes.
Here we are.
I feel like you are more of a homebody.
We both are. But more so than me.
Yeah, but I mean just in general, the activities going out is maybe a little bit less.
When we lived downtown, I was like, come on, babe, it's Friday night, let's hit the town. And you're like,
I was tired.
You're like, it's going to take me 2 hours to get ready. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not going downtown.
And then we would go downtown, but I wouldn't like...
You would fall asleep at the bar.
I couldn't hang. Yeah. I couldn't hang.
You would have two margaritas.
And I was done.
And I was like, oh.
Drinks make me so sleepy.
They do.
And I don't plan it well. So what I should do is like, when I have a drink, half water so I can like last out the night.
Well, you gotta make sure you eat something. That's the
pre-game
number.
And also would have been nice too.
Well, no, if we pre-gamed, you would have never left the apartment.
Well, I should have pre-gamed, drink some water to like clean up a little bit.
All right, so what is pre-gaming?
Pre-game right before you go out. So you take like a shot of something right before you go out. And then, you know, go to a couple bars, have a drink, and then, you know what I mean?
Because
there's a way to make it, like, nice. Because I went out with my friends, and we were out until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. You don't do that with me, because we're in an established relationship.
No, I just didn't.
When we were in an early relationship, you were able to hang for 3 drinks.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know how to hang.
I know. I just moved out here,
and I haven't done it in a while. I haven't been out in a while.
You don't need a pregame if your limit on drinks is 2.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 2 drinks and that's it, there's no reason to take up 50% of your drinking capacity before you leave the house.
That's what I'm saying. What you could do is you just drink, you pregame. Like
you have a shot, so you're already halfway to your maximum capacity.
So that when you go out, you may only need like 1 other drink.
But then you're asleep by 9:30 in the bar.
But like, no, you don't have to drink right away. You can go to the bar.
You're going to sit in the bar and be like, I'll have a water, please.
No. You have your drink.
No
ice. You know that they water down those things, by the way. Like, they put like a lots of ice in there, so you're not even drinking.
Unless you go to a dive, then they're like, what do you want, honey?
Yeah.
And you're like, can I get a bourbon on the rocks? Yeah, you can. And then they're going to pour you a drink that you'll only need 2 of.
Yeah.
But all that to say, this isn't an alcoholic podcast, even though that's like a big part of the going out in the early stages. Mm-hmm. When you get to the established stage, that's kind of when you're in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At what point? Like, some people get to the established phase mm-hmm. or stage faster than others. Yeah. Some people can be casually dating and they can try to stay in that early stage for, I don't know,
a year.
They can maybe be talking to other people on the side.
Mm-hmm. I think established can like really solidify for people when they like move in together. When they say, hey, let's move in together, you're starting to become more established because you only move in. If you can move in at the early stage, you can. But if you do move in, you're becoming more established very quickly.
Okay, so
because now you're putting money involved in the relationship.
And that brings a lot of stress.
It does bring
And that brings a lot of sink or swim. I'm invested in this person. Yeah. We have a lease together.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the early stage, that's early exclusive, right? It's not you're talking to other people.
When someone say, hey, I want you to be my girlfriend, I want you to be my boyfriend, right? And that stage, you're hanging out with this person, maybe not all the time. You're not seeing them every single day.
But they're your person.
They're your person.
If they were talking to someone else, you'd be able to like key their car and stuff, right?
You could, but it's within
your retaliation.
I'm trying
to understand.
I just want everyone to know, like, we don't.
But it's not like, hey, we matched on Tinder. We're both talking to other people. This is an early exclusive.
Yeah, no, we're talking about an actual relationship. Both parties know that they're in this relationship, not one-sided or whatever.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand where the starting point is.
The starting point is like, someone has said, hey, I want you to be my girlfriend, or I want to just see you, but like no one else.
Yeah, we're
however
exclusive.
You want to say it, whatever you want to say.
I don't know what the terms are nowadays.
You could say, I just want to see you exclusively.
Exclusive is, you know? I like that one.
Like whatever you want to say.
Sounds like VIP or something.
Yeah, VIP.
So we're, okay. So early
like
exclusive.
Like they've made it known that I'm not going to be sleeping around with anybody else. I'm just sleeping around with you.
So the relationship has been solidified.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's been, like, it's known. And then, so, once you're in that stage, you're just going out, you're not, like, you're going to go out with this person more often, but you're not seeing them, most of the times, you're not seeing them every single day.
Yeah, you're not living together.
You're not living together just yet.
When you go out, you're going out for fun experiences. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we talked about when you first moved out. What is that? Wow, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, it's been a while.
When you first moved, you don't have to make it sound like it was that much fun. You sound so thrilled. Yeah,
I'm thrilled.
Yeah. I've seen some things. No, but I mean, when you go from early to established, that's when, you know, you're really kind of in it for the long haul. You're not just hanging out and seeing each other when it's a fun activity.
Yeah, I think that's what we talked about. But you can leave an established point, like relationship.
Oh, you can leave at any of the stages.
Oh, you can.
As you go down the stages, the harder it is to leave.
Yeah.
But
once you hit the early stage and you're like, oh, I don't like this, you can leave, you know, whatever. And when you come established, you move in together, you might have to wait till the lease is up before you, like, you know, you could be like, hey, I want to break up with you.
Well, established is where you've been through. You guys been through a few things.
You've had
some rough patches. Mm-hmm. You both decided, okay, I guess we'll work this out. We'll fight through this. There's a more of a commitment. Maybe there's a financial commitment with the lease and, you know, whatever else people have going
owning
on.
Owning a pet together.
Owning a pet, yeah.
Yeah. Cars, things like that. You know, when you get to establish, a lot of times it's very much like,
you're kind of in it for the long haul.
You're in it for a long time. You're having more disagreements that you probably wouldn't have had in the early stage because you were so focused on going out all the time.
Well, the early stage, you're only going out and doing fun things. You're not living together. You're not, you know, doing tasks
together. No, you're not. And that's why, like, when you get into the established stage, you're having more disagreement. You're seeing what you like about your partner. You're seeing the things you don't like your partner.
Yep.
Those things are coming out to the light now, besides just going out. You can mask those things. You can cover those things up. But when you're established stage, you're now, like, seeing all the things that you may have not liked and figuring out how to, like, get over these things. And
You're starting to see that each other person is a cracked, broken human being.
Yeah.
You're opening up about trauma. You're opening up about the things that made you who you are. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes your partner might be like, ugh.
Yeah.
But you both work through those things. Mm-hmm. And I think when you move from early to established, that's when the real work of a relationship begins.
Yes, yeah. It's 100%. Like, you're now, like, putting in the work for this relationship, you know?
When you're in an early stage, like, I remember, you know, the elders will tell us, you know, a relationship is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And they'll always tell that if you got a good elder, they'll tell you that at the early stage of a relationship.
Yeah.
So at that point, you don't know. No. You're like, what do you mean? It's always just a blast.
Yeah.
We go to the amusement parks, and we go out drinking, and we go out dancing, and then we go on vacations, and we only do fun things together. And if we just live together, it'll be like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get someone who's been through it, and they go, nah, bud, it's not like that. You have to really work at it.
Yeah.
And that's where the established phase begins. And
it's the not so pretty phase. It's not the prettiest phase. And again, you can move through these stages really quickly. And then the next stage is...
Well, hang on. I don't think we're quite there.
Oh, okay.
We have a story for all you backyarders out there.
Yeah, so there's a story.
It's my story first. Me first.
Okay.
Me.
All right. But yeah, so it's more like your button heads and things. You're seeing disagreements that you don't like. Like and don't like.
Well, let me read you this title of this article, and you tell me what stage that you think that this couple is in.
Okay.
It's not the early stage. Let me just, spoiler alert.
Thanks.
Okay. The title of the article is, I left my dawdling wife, what are they, British, behind to go to a baseball game. It's the only way she'll learn.
Dawdling life. Wife sounds so belittling.
It just sounds so British. She's dawdling.
What is dawdling?
It's...
I don't even know what that word means.
It's one of those words that means exactly as it sounds. Like, she's, like, kind of taking her time. She's not really getting ready. She's kind of... Look up the definition if you don't mind.
Because I can actually see you. Yeah.
Dawdling. Like, this is the dawdling
side. Yeah, so dawdling is the deliberate act of delaying and playing instead of working. So, delaying.
Oh,
so, pretty much you're delaying.
Well, I guess that's actually a pretty good word for this one.
Okay, so I left my delaying wife behind to go to the baseball game. It's the only way she'll learn.
So, let me...
He's tired.
It sounds like he's had this discussion with his wife a few times. In the early stages, baby, take your time. Oh, no, you're late. We're going to miss half of the game. No, it's fine. Oh, your eyes are just so beautiful. We talked about this before.
This is like, I'm fed up. This is definitely either established or
this is a man like darn near at the end of his rope. He's like, I know we talked about this. You're on your own. I'm leaving. I'm not going to miss my game. That means, like, that's definitely an established relationship.
Established to being family.
Maybe it's an established relationship heading towards a de-established relationship.
We'll see.
So, like our last story from our last episode, this comes from Reddit, and it's from the Am I the A-Hole subreddit forum, or, you know, where people ask if they were wrong. And this is actually a pretty juicy one, because it can be... But he also might not be. And it's completely subjective. So apparently, Stud and Bay are going to go to a baseball game. And Stud allotted 45 minutes to get to the game. Good planning.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. He's got a plan. And he's doing it right. He's executing it well.
Mm-hmm.
But Bay is an avid gamer. And she was playing her video game until 5:45.
Wow.
And he wanted to leave at 6.
Wow, he got himself a gamer girl.
That used to be the objective, but I don't think that's the vibe anymore. Just like girls don't want a gamer guy, there's a certain stigma.
Oh, is there?
Well, I mean, yeah, she's playing video games until 5:45 when they gotta leave at 6.
Yeah,
like,
I would be infuriated.
I'm not gonna lie,
like, that is kind of close, especially if you're just playing video games.
And she's got 15 minutes to get ready.
I mean, is she making money off of this playing video games, or just
most people don't.
Oh, man.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
So she's giving herself 15 minutes to get ready. You know how when people are playing video games, they're not playing them dressed up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta shower. They gotta brush their teeth. They gotta get put together.
Yeah.
And so they gotta leave at 6. He told her that they gotta leave at 6. 5:45. She's still not ready. And apparently they've had this problem in the past. She has struggled to plan in the past. and I'm getting tired of reminding her that she needs to budget time to get ready. So he sounds like, you know, like every other guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm reading the story and I'm like, I've been that person who's like, unfortunately, been late. And then, and I don't mean to do it, but I totally understand.
But remember, in the early stages, if we were late, you're just like, that's just what it is, baby. And I was like, oh, she's so sweet and funny. And now I'm like, I said we're leaving at this time, we're gonna leave at this time.
But I also understand and also respect your point of view as well, because I understood like, it is disrespectful. Not being on time is a sign of disrespect that I finally registered, because I'm not used to it. My entire family, unintentionally, you know, sometimes we're on time, sometimes we're a little bit late, but it was never this huge thing like, oh, you're being late, and like, it was never a whole like thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's where like, we're through this article.
But yeah,
really
it is
starting,
yeah.
I think we're starting to see him move from the early stages to the established stage in real time on Reddit.
Yeah.
Or else he might just be like completely fed up with this and it's been happening for years. We don't know that yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was saying he's complaining to the internet, which I think is kind of a cringe move regardless. He's complaining to strangers online about his wife. Maybe he probably shouldn't do that. Just a pro tip. But he goes on to say, I was ready to go by 6 p.m. and she was in the bathroom. I saw it this as an opportunity to teach her personal responsibility. I wouldn't want my partner to be talking like this.
Yeah.
If you were like, I saw this as an opportunity to teach him personal responsibility.
You think that's an ick for you.
I would be like, why are you talking about me like as if I'm a child?
Yeah.
But she's always late, so I can kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
So he says, I simply left the house without saying a word. That was his mess up right
there.
Right there, without saying a word and simply just ditched her.
Yeah, that's
no
wild.
Good.
I mean,
no good.
See, there's two points of story.
I'm all about him leaving without her. I'm actually fully supportive of that decision.
Oh, it's hard. This is such a hard thing because technically he told her we need to be... Baseball games are different because like... You got the whole experience, the national anthem,
the first pitch, and the whole experience. You don't want to show, if you're paying for a game, you don't want to show up halfway through, and then missing your half your experience.
I get it. That's what I'm saying. Baseball games are tricky because those are events. You're going out for an event. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be like a fun time. So I understand him like saying like, oh no. We can't be late to this, you know what I mean? But, and then 5:45 when he gives you 15.
And she's playing video games. Oh. It's not like she's getting ready, but it's running over. She's playing video games. And that is where I'm like, you know what, stud? 6 o'clock rolls around. You told her you're leaving at 6. Leave with or without her. That's within your rights. If you decide, if this is the plan that you guys have made, and she is not abiding by the plan, fine. This is totally within your rights.
It's in his rights, but it's out of control.
Simply left the house without saying a word. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's where you have to have the balls. If you're going to follow through with something like this, you got to go and bang on the bathroom door and say, hey, bae, I'm leaving for the game. I'll see you when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the balls to communicate that. If she comes out and she's rushing and he's just gone, that was a fault on him.
Yeah.
But she should have been ready before 6.
I mean, he did tell her this. He said, hey, I want to leave at 6. And it's so hard because as a person who completely understands, like, how being late is just so rude now, like, I didn't understand it in the past. Like, not didn't understand it, but it was never, like, one of those things that I worried about. Like, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't be late. But now I completely understand, like, yeah, that's kind of rude. Like, I'm going to be...
It's wicked rude.
It's rude. And I agree with anyone who says that it's rude. I feel like it's...
And I honestly think leaving her at the house while I went to the game was one of the best things you can do for their relationship.
She's definitely not going to be late again.
She's not. She knows that he means business.
Yeah.
But he was also kind of sneaky about it.
Yeah.
Because he said, I left without saying a word. Bro, if you're going to ditch your girl, go to her and say, listen.
He knew if he went to her, she would
have thrown a fit.
Oh, 100%.
She'd be like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
She's going to come out in a towel, hair wet, I'm ready to go.
So he knew that he had to leave without telling her, because if he told her, she would have definitely, like, it would have been a...
But that's where they're not communicating. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're lacking communication.
When
yeah.
you're going from the early to established stage, mm-hmm. that's where you learn how to communicate. Yeah. I like this. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I like this, but when you do that, it makes me want to leave you. You have to be able to communicate
yeah,
these
no,
things.
Yeah, no, you do have to communicate. So, and it's sometimes hard for men to communicate these things, by the way. It's not
not
like,
just men. Well, yeah, mostly.
I feel like for you guys, like when you guys communicate to us, like I remember sometimes we'd communicate and you'd communicate how you feel, and you'd be like, oh, this is why I don't communicate how I feel. Because you feel like
It's not absorbed. Mm-hmm. But that's where, like, I think in his whole thing, I agree with him leaving. Because mm-hmm. They're both now transitioning from early to established, and you have to have these boundaries. But without saying a word, not great, not good communication on his part.
And then when she found out...
She was furious, according to the Reddit post.
I mean, as any woman...
She said it was completely unacceptable. Now, that's where it's his job as a partner in this relationship to say, no, actually... Playing video games up until 5:45 when we have plans to leave at 6 is completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
So he needs to have a backbone to push back.
Damn. But it's like when two wrongs do wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, she's wrong for the time management. He's wrong for like completely leaving without saying anything. Like
he should have. All he has to do.
Two wrongs don't make a right. But I mean.
But what makes me so like not on his side, if he just went upstairs, this is all he had to do. Bang on the door. Hey, babe, I'm leaving for the game. See you when I get back. That's all he had to do. Mm-hmm. That's all he had to do.
He
had to sneak out. Yeah. In his post, he waited for her to go in the shower. He's like, now's my chance. He snuck.
He probably snuck away from his wife. He like was some kind like, of like thinking about it. And
he's like, now I'm gonna show her.
Oh, 100%.
That's not being manly.
He was waiting for
that's
sure.
That's not being assertive. All he has to do is go like as soon as that timer hits 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. bang on that door. Hey, babe. We're leaving at 6. I'm out of here. See you later. Mm-hmm. That sends a stronger message than him sneaking out. Mm-hmm. And then she would have respected that more.
Yeah.
Because he would have been voicing his... He would have been communicating.
He would have been telling exactly what he said he was going to do. He was following through what he said he was going to do. Yeah, she was furious. She thought it was unacceptable, but...
And then he goes on to lamb... What's the word I'm looking for?
Lay out
just
or...
roast his wife.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think it's completely insane that a grown woman is unable to budget her time, and I'm starting to suspect that she is doing this on purpose because she's a narcissist. Frankly, I think it's completely insane that a grown man is roasting his wife in the public forum of Reddit
instead of
talking to her.
Yeah.
So that's where like they're really struggling with that transition from early to established.
Yeah.
Because it's really...
But that's good. Once they get over this hurdle, if she
finds this Reddit post,
oh.
there's no going over this hurdle.
Oh no!
They went from early established, de-established to endgame. Like that's it. Like on Reddit for a bunch of strangers to judge their relationship. That's why I don't understand the subreddit, because you're literally airing out your dirty laundry to a bunch of strangers.
I know. If I found a Reddit, or you found a Reddit about a situation that happened to you or your significant other, you would be so... both of us would be pissed. We'd be like, what the hell?
Well, it says so much about your relationship, because it's like, you're gonna just put me on the grill and turn the gas all the way up in front of a bunch of strangers instead of talking to me about this? But that's where the juiciest stuff comes from, the subreddit.
Yeah. So, and, I mean...
Well, hang on. He gives her some flowers here. Mm-hmm. He says that she is, quote, not a dumb woman.
Oh.
She has a science degree. So I think everything about... I think there's a lot of underlining tensions here.
There is, 100%, yeah.
So then the Reddit community, they pretty much call him an asshole. And one guy was like,
there must be a newlywed.
Yeah, but then you got some simps here, and they're like, I would have missed the first pitch for her, blah, 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 blah. But it's like,
you guys
made plans, you agreed to a schedule.
See, it's so funny. People who are not in a relationship and judging an established relationship, it's so funny because they're like, you know, like, I would have done this and this and this. Tell me when you get to my level. When you get to establish, say the same thing.
In the early stage, anything goes. Anything's fine. I'll wait outside of my car for 2 hours just to see you smile.
Yeah. And then once you get to establish, you're like, have some things.
You're like, oh wait, this is another person.
Yeah.
This isn't like some angel from above. This is a human being. They have faults. I have faults. We just got to try to work with it. So I thought that was a really fun story because it just really...
I think they're both wrongs, and I think that I hope they can get through it and like overcome it, because once they do, they're going to be better. It's going to be better.
If they just communicate.
Yeah.
And
but I don't know if they... I don't think they're good at it right now because, you know...
Well, one Reddit commenter said, "You're the asshole. You must be a newlywed because no sane husband should ever think it's a good idea to teach their wife a lesson." Part of that's true, but also... sometimes you gotta draw boundaries.
If you agree
on a schedule and you're gonna hold to it and the other person will not hold to it, why should you always bend for that person?
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not sure. It's just hard.
It's a juicy one, isn't it?
It's hard because it's a baseball game and it's like a whole thing. You have to find parking and all that stuff. But I agree. Like if you said, hey, I wanna leave at this time and I'm not ready at that time, you have every right to be like, yeah, I'm going to go because
this is agreed time.
Like, that's what a date is. You agree on a time and a place. So, yeah, I think you should definitely went and said, hey, I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
And just then leave. But
well, that's where, like, sometimes if you're not getting ready and I start, like, kind of, like, encouraging you to get a move on, you hate it. You hate it so much. But then you're like, oh, we do have to leave at a certain time.
Yeah, because then I respect time. Once you start respecting like people's like time and stuff like that, like or just understand like yeah, people's times are valuable. Like you don't want to waste people's time. Then you're like, okay, even though I hate when you like do that, like, I don't know what it is about it. It's just more of like I know that you're like trying to rush me, but you're trying to do it kindly. But it's
I'm
just...
trying very, very hard to be kind.
Yeah.
But I also will say, hey, we're leaving at this time.
Yeah.
And that's implied very strongly that if you're not ready, you can meet us at the event.
Yeah, there has been times there.
Because there's been so many times where I'm waiting for you.
Yeah.
And that's very disrespectful to me. And that's something I won't abide.
Yeah.
That's like, everyone has lines. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay to make people wait for you because you just didn't feel like getting ready.
Mm-hmm. I think that also comes with the respecting the person and loving for the person. Once you realize that, oh, wait, I have been making this person wait a lot longer. I don't know what it was with click point to me. It was like, I actually respect you, and I respect your time, and I realize you have been waiting because you have been vocal about it. And then it was just like, oh, yeah, that's right. He does wait for me.
This is actually really rude.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know what it was. It just clicked for me. I was like, oh, I respect this person, and it is kind of rude what I'm doing. Let me try my best to do better. So
yeah.
I've just been trying to do my best.
But that's what an established relationship is, mm-hmm. is it's understanding the other person and understanding what they can and cannot tolerate, mm-hmm. and understanding what you can and cannot tolerate in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
It takes some time to get very established. Like, you know, it may be like how long would it take?
Well, I think it depends on how quickly you move through the stages.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there is, like, what is it? Like, back in, like, the 50s, you get married right out of high school, then you have a kid, like, 6 months later.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's 9 months is, the normal term of having a child.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't even get a chance to establish.
You get to establish yourself for 9 months.
And then you're like, oh, I hate this person.
But
like,
we have a kid now.
Kid together.
Which leads us to the next. Well, you actually had an article. Do you want to move into the third stage, family? Or do you want to dwell on the second stage of what you need to have set up before you have a family?
I mean, like, either one doesn't matter. But I have another story that I kind of want to share. And it's like, the story goes like this. Are you with the right partner? 9 tell signs from a psychologist. So a psychologist telling people if you're the right partner. And this is from the New York Post.
You know we love the New York Post here at the Backyards Congress.
We gotta switch it up, I think, some point. We gotta stop like giving them so much credit. But so pretty much the psychologist breaks down what are the 9 signs to tell if you're the right partner. And some of the things they mentioned is, 1, you have an open communication.
Can I just... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I totally stepped on your thing.
No, it's totally fine. You have an open communication, and that's what the last couple in your last article did not do. They did not communicate properly.
I think the key word here is open communication.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times people communicate within, I feel this way, I feel like this, I have certain feelings that I'm going to express to you in an inappropriate way.
Yeah.
And then the other person goes, well, what about my feeling? It's not open. It's very closed.
Yeah.
It's just two people transmitting signals at each other, mm-hmm. but no one's receiving it in.
Yes. And I feel like a lot of people do that. And honestly, it takes time to realize that you're doing that and realizing the way you're communicating to this person is actually not the best way. Because it took me a long time to realize I couldn't communicate the way I was communicating. Because I was, you know, again, for me, I didn't have a lot of experience, like, you know, seeing people, like, in relationships. So for me, the way I communicate to you was just the way I normally communicate with my family, not from point of view of in a relationship.
Well, if I can just say something real quick.
Yeah.
In this article, they say this whole 9 signs or whatever. Okay, so the 9 signs and traits that successful couples consistently demonstrate as a way to know whether or not you're with your soulmate.
Yeah.
Aside from the sexual stuff,
right.
All of these 9 signs are to determine whether or not you can communicate like an adult human being.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. This whole soulmate jargon that they're throwing in at the beginning of the article.
Yeah, I didn't even see that part, but yeah.
I mean, it's just tactics mm-hmm. and skills to develop
yeah.
in order to function as an adult member of society. Open communication. You need that skill with work, family, relationships, mm-hmm. you know, everything. You yeah. need to have that open communication skill.
Yeah. A lot of people lack that, unfortunately, and it's something that can develop and stuff like that. So that was one. Do you want to hear the other ones?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Rattle them off.
Okay. Number two, you strive for a deeper emotional connection.
That's not really necessary. No. Deeper emotional connection? For a relationship? No.
Every time I say that, it's so funny. It reminds me of, what's that show that Too had to handle? Yeah, was like, no. Oh, they need a deeper emotional connection.
I don't agree with that one.
Really?
That one's made up.
You're joking, no, right?
It's all you need is a superficial physical attraction.
Oh.
That's it. That's all, folks.
No, you definitely want to get to know someone on a deeper level.
Well, the emotional connection is bonding
very
through.
Important. Yeah.
Like, that's, remember, I keep going back to Studden Bay in Kenya.
Yeah.
Like, they have that bond that just, nothing can ever shake.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's...
It's important to have emotional connection because you want to feel like you can, like... You can talk to your partner and, like, your emotional needs are being met. You know what I mean?
But how can you have a deeper emotional connection if you don't have open communication? It directly builds off of that.
Yeah.
You know?
And open communication means, like, you are free to speak and say whatever you feel without, like, if you say this, you know for sure it's going to, you know, you're not in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
You can say what you can feel without feeling like, oh, I might say this and it might be a threat to me.
That's
yeah.
really the worst thing. That's the saddest yeah. thing in a relationship mm-hmm. is if you feel, oh, if I say this, they're going to judge me.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a relationship. If you're in an established relationship at this point, you need and must feel comfortable enough to express your emotional
freely.
Side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I was saying. This is when the trauma comes out. This is when you talk about your past experiences.
Yeah.
This is when you get to really know who that person is.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be just fun and exciting. It's like, oh my gosh, it's always going to have some element of pain established with this connection.
Yeah. So yeah, and then you have the emotional connections where you guys are, you know, talking deeper than just the physical, like, you know, just, oh, you look hot, babe. Oh, you look
yeah.
smoking.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how are you today? How are you feeling mentally? Are you feeling, and like, how are you spiritually? You know, just
yeah.
like those types of connections and like, you know, opening up a little bit. So, and then the next one is...
Okay, so this one only applies to men.
This one only applies to
this
men.
This one doesn't apply to women, so read it off.
You show respect.
I had to get one misogynistic joke in
You're
there.
You're hilarious.
That was probably like the 18th of this episode.
I think that, yes, definitely both partners should be respecting each other. It shouldn't be like this thing where like you're just stepping all over your partner and you're like...
Well, oh, I'm so sorry. I stepped on
you. It's
here.
Fine.
Please go ahead.
No, I mean like stepping all over your partner as in like you don't respect them. Like you make plans without their like input. You just like, oh, I'm going to do this. And like, who cares what my partner says, you know?
What I meant to say before mm-hmm. I stepped on you when you were talking.
Uh-huh.
So that's exactly what neither Stud nor Bay in the previous article did.
Oh, yeah.
Neither of them showed respect for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Bay was like, our plans, Nah, whatever, we'll see.
It's so funny because I think that was subconscious, by the way. I don't think that, I'm telling you a lot, like I don't want to say all women, but there's majority of the time when it comes to time management, I'm not good at it. And I know a lot of other people like me.
But you said that you made the conscious decision mm-hmm. to be on time out of respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it really just ties back in. This point number three ties mm-hmm. back into the importance of this respect. It's because we saw when that's absent.
Yes.
It just causes all these issues. And then you have thousands of people and people like you and I judging this couple we've never met.
Yeah.
That is the end product of not having respect.
Like, you willing you get, to air your stuff out on the internet, that doesn't mean you respect the person.
And then you get people like us making fun of you.
Now you're, it's just like...
So at the end of the day, when you don't respect your partner, you're only hurting yourself.
Yeah.
If you go out there and you talk shit about your partner and be like, what, he was roasting her pretty good.
He was roasting her pretty good.
When he goes out there and says that, all I can say is, what a little weak person. He's talking badly about his partner.
See, people do that often. People talk badly about their partner.
It's showing a lack of respect. And if you don't show respect, especially to your partner, mm-hmm. it shows that you don't respect yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, like, people talk, like, you know, badly about their partner to, like, their family members, to other people like that. So
that's different. If you're talking to someone you know and you're very close to,
I mean, that's still not like you're not respecting the partner. You're not
it's not good. Yeah. It's a sign of weakness.
You're now letting other people know about your issues in your relationship.
You generally never want to do that.
Because in the end of the day, like, this instance, something could happen, but, like, it's not the end of the world type of relationship, like, thing. But now everyone else now is putting, like, their thoughts onto what they think the relationship is going, the relationship is going.
That's completely true.
Yeah.
But the worst disrespect is to air that out on the internet to strangers.
Literally. Like, it's just,
hey, the woman I chose is, you know, whatever he said. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, like, you're throwing dirt in your own face.
Yeah, definitely, if you can keep the thing away from the internet, like, even like social media, don't post it on Facebook, don't post it on Instagram. No. Don't air out your...
It's so cowardly to disrespect your woman anonymously on the internet mm-hmm. for people to judge your relationship.
Or to get sympathy. I think he might have been doing it for sympathy. I think he wanted
people to,
like... Most
of the people who do that post it for sympathy.
Yeah. But anyway, so number four, focus on shared values. So that's pretty straightforward.
That just seems to go without being said.
I mean, you want to have a developed values to begin with. If my value was is to go out and, like, you know, be in an open relationship and your value is, like, I want to be monogamy. Okay. Well, we already have issue here.
So hold on. Do you really think that in our current society, mm-hmm. this is such an overlooked thing that it had to be stated? I just figured shared values would be what a relationship is built on.
It's hard because I feel like things are changing, and I feel like you definitely, I don't think you have to even state that there's a shared values. For the most part, there's a reason why you guys connected in the first place, because of shared values. Yeah. But, you know, I get it. Like, if someone is religious and someone isn't religious, you know what I mean? Sometimes that can be a conflict.
Well, sometimes that can be kind of hot.
It can be hot.
You know?
Yeah. But, like, let's say, you know, someone, you're Jewish and you want me to convert, and I'm like, I don't want to do that, or something like that.
Well,
like,
again, that's kind of hot. No, but I mean, like, it's strange that, like, I just assumed that shared values would go without being said. It's like find someone you're attracted to. It's like, you just kind of assumed that would be part of the deal.
Maybe people go on so many dates that they don't even realize that, like, oh, that's right, I forgot. What do we have that's, like...
Yeah, maybe, you know? Wow, that's... Thankfully, that's a pretty short, you know, it's only, like, three quick paragraphs, so it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
So I think most people get that.
And number five, you create a supportive environment.
No, you gotta belittle. You gotta tear them down. Of course, you gotta create a supportive environment.
You can't have your partner, like, wanting to, like, have a bunch of businesses. What? Why?
Support their dreams?
Dreams?
It's about my dreams. No, I mean, a lot of these are very... I mean, you get on with getting it on.
Oh,
that,
number six,
I think that's
number
pretty self-explanatory, too.
That's related to
sex. Sexual life is crucial to emotional and development. Yeah, okay. Well, I think that sounds it up.
Yeah,
pretty
obviously,
good.
If you guys aren't having a good, like, fun life, or whatever, sex life, you know, like it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
You know,
there's going to be a lot of unfulfillment.
And that's fine to have the issues, but you got to communicate. That's where it goes back to number one. You have to have the open communication because you got to communicate with your partner, like, hey, listen, I want you to do something different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's without dwelling too much on it. Communication is the key to all of these things.
Yeah. Number seven, you spend quality time outside of the bedroom too.
Again, I thought that goes hand in hand with the supportive environment and shared values. It's like
that's stage one. That's early stage of a relationship where you're just constantly just physical. Yeah. Everything's just physical, touching and everything. Like you're going out and you know, like.
But I don't understand. Oh, that's an advertisement.
Number eight. Oh, yeah.
Just so you can.
No.
There's a woman hugging a child. And I'm like, what does that picture have to do with this caption?
It doesn't. Yeah,
vaping is not safe. It's an advertisement. So okay.
Thank you for letting them. Everyone just sponsor them.
I'm trying to.
And number eight, still remain independent. So you know
that is very important.
I think it's important too.
You get so wrapped up with someone else, you don't know how to function without them. If your identity is I am Khadijah's boyfriend. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey. How are you? Mm-hmm. I am Khadijah's boyfriend. This is my identity. You short circuit your own growth.
Yeah.
You gotta maintain independence.
I think a lot of times when I've experienced and seen this growing up where a lot of women, like, I don't know if it was the church or something, were told that, you know, the men are the head of the household, so the women are just kind of supporting the men.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I've seen, but I understand, like, yes, you definitely want to have your own independence. You want to have your own dreams as well, not just be your husband's partner or wife's partner.
That always seems strange to me, where it's like, oh, no, you're not the lead character in your story. Mm-hmm. You're a bit player. You know, you're a background player.
Well, I think once you have kids, that kind of plays out a lot because at the end of the day, you can't have two heads at the, you know.
Well, I mean, eventually someone has to make the decision.
Yeah, someone has to be the decision maker and then you just want to be the supportive partner and like not.
But, I mean, you can't, the way it's been presented, mm-hmm. especially in churches and things like that, it's very much, he's the main character and you're a subplot. It's like, no, that's not how you live life.
I mean, things are definitely changing.
They're changing all over the place.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there's really got to be a balance. Like, that's where it always comes down to the teamwork. And kind of like item number nine, you prioritize conflict resolution.
Yeah.
You can't just have someone be submissive and someone be the dom. You have to have that balance and you have to have both parties understood in order to make a decision that works.
Yeah, and I think that you should want to solve a problem, like have the problem you guys have solved. Like,
yeah.
If you're a person who's like, nope, I'm gonna go to bed and not solve this issue. I mean, I was like that in the very beginning of the relationship. I was not good at trying to find problems in our relationship. I was like, this is good. I don't have a problem, and I don't know how to, you know, like. Yeah, but solving problems and making sure like the issue that this person's having is resolved should be very important.
Well, that all goes back to item number one, open communication.
Yeah.
Everything ties back to open communication. As soon as you don't have that, you might as well just stop being in a relationship if you don't have that open communication.
Yeah. Some people are in an abusive relationship, but yeah.
Well, again, you should probably not be in that relationship.
Yeah.
If you're in an abusive relationship, that doesn't make it okay.
No, I understand that. But, like, there's some, you know, both men and women are, both people, men and women can be in a domestic violence relationship where one partner is.
Or manipulative, emotionally. Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of abuse.
So those are hard to get out of because if you're psychologically being told by this person that you, like...
You'll never find anyone who loves you. Yeah.
It's hard to get out of those.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, I mean, that's all, like, super not what we're advocating
to. No.
We're not being like, all right, guys, you got to have open communication. Unless you're in an abusive relationship, in which case you don't need open communication. No, we're saying if you don't have open communication,
you have bigger issues.
Get out.
You have bigger issues than just open communication. There's more.
If you can't have open communication, maybe you should go somewhere else.
Yeah. But, and then, so the different stages, so
once you're so good at the segues.
So once you're done with the early stage, established stage, you become the family stage.
And some people never go to this stage.
Some people do not go to
this
stage.
I don't know if we'll be able to afford this stage. Unless we make a lot more money. Because it's expensive raising kids.
100%.
The family stage at this point is now a financial
game.
Threshold mm-hmm. that you have to cross over before you can reach it.
Yeah.
And that's
and that stage is where you have you get married, you have kids, you know, you're no longer focused as much on each other. You're kind of focused on the kids and raising them up and things like that. You know, it's the fun is still there, but it's more like
you're not the main character.
Yeah, you're not the main characters anymore. You're definitely trying to like be on survivability mode, and once you pass that, you're trying to like you know make the next generation you know have a good
your childhood. Schedule isn't built around what you want to do. It's about what your kids want to do, mm-hmm. making sure they have a good life. At least that's the way I see
it. You don't want them hating you afterwards and being like, "Oh, my childhood sucked."
Yeah,
you know.
But now, do you think that couples, after they survived the establishment phase mm-hmm. and stage, and after they learned how to have open communication, do you think that they start drifting apart during the family stage?
It's possible. It's possible because like you're no longer the main character anymore. You've been so used to like for however long you've been the main character of your story. Yeah. And when you have a little one, you're no longer the main character. Yeah. Literally, your whole life is revolved around this person, you know. And then you also think about like, oh, this is their childhood, you know. There's things that you may not want to do, but you remember they're gonna grow up and be like, oh, did this when I was a kid. It's a hard shift. It's a hard shift.
I think that's when men are more likely to have affairs.
Mm.
I think once they have kids and the wife is solely focused on the kids and he's just the money maker, that's probably when they start having affairs.
I mean,
and I think also probably for the women, it's the same situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, is this it? Is this my whole life?
Yeah.
So I think that might be one of the hardest stages of a relationship.
Of course. And that's why open communication is really key. You know what I mean? You got to communicate with your partner. Like, hey, listen, you know, the things that we really like doing, we can't possibly do it right now. Maybe we could do it later, another time. And that's why they always say, always make point to date your partner. Always still date your partner. Even when like when you have kids, because when the kids leave,
then it's you're with that partner again.
Yeah. So you
and whatever damage was done during stage 3, you're gonna have to deal with in stage 4.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times, at least in what I've seen, you know, in various relationships, sometimes it goes from stage 1, the early excitement stage, whoopsie-doo, now we're in family stage.
Oh.
And, you know, maybe you got 9 months to do the established stage. Maybe you don't. But now you're going from the early excitement stage to, my God, I hate this person, but we have kids. And now you're going into the family stage that you're not ready because you didn't set the groundwork of stage 2.
Oh, man. I honestly, if someone was going through that stage, I would recommend counseling as much as possible because you skipped the whole stage. You skipped the whole getting to know each other, what you like, what you don't, the disagreements. Yeah. Now you're doing all of that and having a kid involved with it. It's crazy. That just sounds
so now you're figuring, because how many people, so many relationships, they fall apart as soon as it goes from stage 1 to stage 1.5. As soon as that allure, that excitement, that spark, they go, oh, this is who you are. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people leave relationships because they just like that spark of stage 1. You have to go through the work going through a full stage 2 before you're emotionally equipped with your partner to handle stage 3.
Yeah, and I feel like if you keep chasing that spark, you'll never want to go.
You'll burn out and you will die alone. I mean, like, let's be frank here.
Because if you can't get to stage 2, you're constantly seeking that spark. What the spark of like the excitement
goes
going
away.
Out. Yeah, the activities, constantly wanting to go out and do things. At some point, you got to figure out who you're with, the disagreements, and how to overcome them. And like, all this, that has to be done. Like, you're gonna have to go through disagreements. You're gonna have to figure out, can we overcome this? Is this something we can survive?
Is this somebody I want to be with through the hardships?
You're going to have times where you're like, I want to be done with this relationship. You're going to have times where,
you
like...
You spoke that with a little too much conviction. We should edit that out and then redo it with a little less conviction next time.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, this time...
It's normal.
You've got times where you're just like, oh, maybe this is just too much work.
Yeah.
You're just thinking like, oh, maybe I'm just... Maybe it's going to require too much work and I don't want to do all this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you really got to work on the conviction side. You sound
like, I don't
want to
leave. I'm just saying.
You're like, let me tell you, sometimes.
No, I don't want to leave. I'm just saying that, like, sometimes you get to this.
Everyone does. Every relationship. Everything.
And you have to have one of those person who's like, you know what? Listen, let's take a breather. Let's go to sleep. Let's sleep it over.
Let's take a step back. Let's listen.
Yeah, let's take a breather. Let's go to sleep. Wake up in the morning and have this conversation again.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, you will leave. If the person will say, yeah, go ahead, do it. Go and leave.
And that's all fine. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay in stage one, and do stage one with as many different people as you can, that's wonderful. That's great. But that's, personally, for me, that won't bring me fulfillment.
Yeah.
I don't think I can just do stage one until I'm 85 years old. I'm not Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner could do stage one for as long as he breathed.
Yeah.
And people said he might have been a human trafficker. Either way, it doesn't matter. But you don't want to ever just stay in stage one.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean...
But I feel like you need... Sorry, I didn't cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I feel like you need someone who's willing to, like, say, I want to work this out no matter what.
You have to have two people that ready to go to stage two. So many people are just like, stage one is so fun and exciting, and I just love it. Is no longer fun and exciting?
But sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's just you get to, like, a really, like, a disagreement that's just so bad. Or let's say you have the same disagreement over and over again, and neither one of you is completely understanding what the other person's saying. You get like, oh my gosh, is this really worth this headache? Yeah. Are we going to go through this again? I've done this before. Am I going to do this again? How many times are you going to be able to do the same thing over and over again? And it's just like... But also willing to be like, I want to stay in this place. I want to make it work. And it's going to be tough, you know, and maybe pray about it, you know?
Yeah, we don't advocate any sort of religion. So it's non-denominational. Just kidding. Whatever,
so
it doesn't
you're
matter.
In the family stage, you know?
So and sometimes people don't go to the family stage.
People don't, yeah.
Sometimes people cannot afford the family stage. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't want the family stage.
No, especially nowadays, people are like trying to opt out.
It's too damn expensive.
It's too expensive.
You can't afford a family anymore.
No.
It's back in my granddaddy's day, you could have a single income household and afford to raise kids. Nowadays, a dual income household can barely make it work.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just not in the right business. I don't know. But it's more expensive now than it ever was, and I think that was intentionally designed. I don't think we're meant to be having kids anymore, but don't get me started. But eventually, you go to stage four.
Yeah.
And we're going to round this down really quick because we don't know nothing about stage three. We're not quite at stage four because we're still young, goddammit. But at stage four...
You get the experience, the very experienced advanced stage.
I think that's where you really are comfortable with who you are and your partner is comfortable with who they are. And maybe if we're following the stages, maybe after you have kids, maybe then you reconnect.
Yeah. Maybe, I call it the empty nester stage, but
I call it the terminal stage, but both those don't sound too good. So we're going to stick with experience stage. Stage four is experienced. It's not empty nesters. It's not terminal. It's not elderly, like I originally put. It's none of those. It's experienced. We have respect. If you can make it to the experience stage with the same person that you went through the early stage with, kudos to you.
Yeah.
Show us how it's done, because damn, we don't know what we're doing.
It's hard. A lot of people don't make it to that stage a lot anymore.
But I think it really happens that it comes full circle at that point.
Yes, it does.
I think after you went through the early stage, you went through the established stage, you went through the family stage, or maybe you didn't go through the family stage.
Yeah.
When you get to the experience stage and you really understand your partner and they understand you, it comes full circle. And it's now exciting again.
Yes, you get now, activities.
Now we're going to go have sex in public like we did when we were 17.
Oh,
because
oh
you're
my
too
God.
Old to care. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
There were stories. And they were like, you know, Florida couple caught performing lewd acts on the side of a bridge. And they elderly. They're like 65.
Oh, man.
I'm like, yeah, they came full circle. They came out. They came out ahead of it all. They won. They did it. They're now back at the exciting stage.
I mean, I'm happy for them, but I feel like, I don't.
We don't endorse that.
No,
we don't endorse
I'm just
that.
Kidding. But, can you imagine, like, see your, like, grandparents?
I don't
want to.
No.
Okay.
What is
anyways,
wrong
anyways,
with you? You are very lewd. No, but you come full circle.
Yeah.
Once you go through the whole, and it's the life, death, rebirth thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you come around full circle, you're coming out at the beginning of it all. And you're like, oh, man, this is fun.
Yeah.
I forgot how fun this was.
Yeah.
Now we're back at the early stage.
We're doing activities
it's exciting.
Again. You're being
we're
in the
going
present
out.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's really fun. So I think that that was really good. If you guys enjoyed that, please leave a like. And on our Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, all that. You can also go to Instagram at The Backyards Convos. You can go to all our social, Reddit, all that good stuff. Other than that, stay safe, be cool, bye!